Ready to
Though
start?
you could. 10 mil's pretty stout.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Joel, I guess we can fire it off by you giving us a count around.
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show! All right,
that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strolling, go direct to DLNTS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gather's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 3 of CPAC Weebly. With your host, Joel Gorkon McLaughlin.
And not here.
Episode 801 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy spring.
We have Fly Rich.
What do you mean spring? It's 71 here. It's freezing.
We're jamming Joel.
Oh, I'm here.
And Joe. And Joe.
And Joe!
I'm here.
There we go.
There you are.
No, just a question, given that, well, there's a little more than a week left, but has anybody downloaded their crap out of Google Plus?
I did a couple of weeks ago.
Nope.
Don't know what I did with it, but I did do it.
The posts I don't really care about. Google Photos isn't going away, and that's really the only thing I care about.
Are you kidding me? I post all sorts of valuable stuff. Your stuff isn't valuable, so I can understand why you don't want to save your post.
Hey, Rich, bite me.
Just thank me first. Just say thank you. I want to hear you say that.
Yeah.
So when you did
thank
it,
you.
How long did it take to get the for them to do the archiving?
It was minutes, but I did this a few weeks ago. And, you know, like I said, it only took a few minutes before I actually downloaded the archive. And you can download a couple of different formats. So you may want to get it, you know, JSON, CSV, whatever. I forget the particular formats. I think it was like 3 different formats. So you can download your stuff. Now, next problem is, what the heck are you going to do with it?
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering, because I was just...
Exactly.
I've seen it up there. And, you know, kudos on them for, like, saying here...
Yeah.
And
yeah,
making it easy to do.
Keep sending reminders.
Right, you know, make it easy to do. So, I just clicked on it now. I'm like, well, let me just check it out. And, they tell you how do you want to get it, you know, email, Dropbox, whatever, and what format, zip or TGZ, and then, you know, you're on your way. But that's the next question. What the hell are you going to do with it?
See, now, if there was some app, and who knows, maybe there's a WordPress, you know, widget that allows you to convert it into a WordPress. I mean, I really wish that they would let me post this as, what is it, on my Blogger, you know, as my blog post, you know. But then again, I'd be taking up just as much of their space as they would if Google Plus actually existed. So all of the time somebody gave me a thumbs up on my blog, I'm sorry, a plus one.
Yeah.
That's going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, and technically it's not disappearing. It's just going via a paywall. Yeah, so it's basically going a Slack route. Where you can, like, if you have Google Apps... You can use it. So, and I fired up Allo the other day just to double check that it was down. Yeah, and it's definitely not available anymore. The only person I ever used it to talk to was Dan Fry.
I think maybe you and Dan Fry were the only 2 people that used it then, right?
Very possible. Well, in More exciting news, the Pine Book has arrived that Richard sent me, and I was playing around with it this evening mostly.
Did Rich have his picture as a desktop when you started it up?
He was still logged into Google Plus and Google Ooh! Gmail and all that. I could have went in and read his email.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Joel!
It still had Android on it when I got here. It doesn't anymore.
Oh,
but maximum pwnage.
Yeah. Damn.
That's what he wants you to believe, no. Rich. Right now, he's composing an email.
Some girl was emailing him stuff on his Gmail account. I'm telling you.
If that was only true.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm pretty impressed though. For a $99 computer, this is not too bad.
I gotta give So they're so close. They're so close. The audio is awful. You got to be in a super quiet room. The speakers point down, so I don't know if you could throw an amp in there and better speakers and cut holes in
it
faces up.
Yeah, the speakers kind of suck. Even on the headphones, they ain't great.
You plugged in headphones and it still sounded bad?
Yeah, it's still
it's super quiet.
Yeah.
The trackpad is pretty marginal. So,
yeah.
I don't know, speak audio, a better trackpad, and a backlit keyboard. And the keyboard's actually pretty decent. What do you think, Joel?
Yeah, I like the keyboard a lot, actually. The keyboard's pretty good. I will agree. The left-hand part of the trackpad's kind of sticky. Not sticky as in, like gooey, but it's just, it sometimes will, stay, it won't click right, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of odd, you know?
But the display's good, right? It looks like decent quality.
It's okay. Now I don't know if this is Linux and I'm noticing it, or what. But there's maybe it's the background. I don't know. But it looks like these little white dots dancing in our, right around the middle. It could be just the version of Linux I'm using.
Yeah, I didn't notice any issues with it.
But. Yeah, I mean, it's barely noticeable.
I don't know. I haven't had any conversations with them. I don't know what it would cost to have a better trackpad and better audio, but I would I would absolutely, if they came out with something with a better trackpad, better audio, I'd buy another Pinebook in a heartbeat.
Pinebook Pro.
Well, that's what I'm really hoping for, and I haven't had any conversations on what improvements were in the Pinebook Pro. I'm just hoping to get my hands on one.
Yeah, it's so close. And actually, what I like about it is that you can choose whether to boot off the eMMC or the SD card. So if you have an SD card slot or card image, like, for example, you could have Android on the eMMC, then you can have Armbian on an SD card. Whenever you want to boot up Armbian, just turn it off, pop the SD card in, turn it on, and it boots Armbian.
How easy is it to load a distribution on the eMMC?
You can do it. There's a program called Etcher that you can use to do it. Or you can also, if you have the image, I think you can also just DD the image over to the SD card.
No, but I mean off the eMMC.
The image, basically what you do is you boot off of the SD card with a special image that's designed to install it to the eMMC.
Okay.
So, like, for example, the Xenial image did that. So, and the only thing is, you do got to know, the one thing I will kind of ding them on a little bit, and it's not their fault entirely, is that it has a default password that you have to basically go in and change, and then you have to go in and add a user and stuff like that. But that's pretty much any ARM platforms like that. The Pi is like that, too. So, it's not an installer per se, like we're used to, like Anaconda for Red Hat, or is it Ubiquiti, I think, is the installer for Ubuntu, I think.
Right.
But, so it
doesn't, it's a running system already. You just DD it over, and it's got everything set up to go.
Yeah, you need to go over to the micro SD card, boot off the micro SD card. A micro SD will say, say, hey, are you ready to install this to the MMC? You say yes, and then it just does it. So it just does its thing. I think the first time you boot, you have to know what the initial password is. But after that, on Armbian, when I booted off the just straight into Armbian right off the micro SD, it asked for the root path. You basically log in as root first with the password 1234. And then when you log in, it says, oh, hey, you need to change the password on root. So then you do that. All right. And then the very next thing, it says, okay, now you need to create a non-admin user. So you type in the information to add a non-admin user, and then it boots up into the GUI, and you're good to go. Now, I think it writes the changes out to the SD card. We'll find out later. But what I'm probably going to do is I'm probably going to throw the latest version of Android out there is Android 7.1, although there is something else called. Have you seen the other Android-based one? I'm trying to remember the name of that, Rich.
I don't know. All I've seen out there is the one that IUtaFan does.
Yeah.
Did I say the name
another
right?
One, I don't know. There's another one. Something like, I want to say DillyOS, but that's not right. I'm looking it up on my phone.
So Dan, after Joel's done checking this thing out, he's free to send it over to you. Hopefully he nuked and paved my credentials. Otherwise, you're welcome to read all my email.
Oh, good. Now, I would never do that. Joel would, but I would. Right, Joel?
No, I wouldn't do that.
I'm just kidding. So I'm curious.
I'll have to see when I get these new bills in the mail for credit cards I ordered that were sent to Ohio.
You know, you paid for an LED system for his kitchen.
No, bathroom. I paid for his kitchen.
An electric bidet.
See, I want the bidet with the heat gun, you know, the blower.
So my question is, I'm kind of looking at the Pine 64 website, and I'm curious if you can buy all the parts to build the laptop yourself. I mean, I'm sure you can.
Yeah, now they said they're going to come out with an upgrade for that. So I don't know if you're going to be able to pull the board out of there and slap a new board in.
Well, you can. Well, one of the options was they actually have a 1080p version of the Pinebook, which this isn't that.
So wait, how much was the Pinebook?
$100.
$100.
Yep.
$100, and you got the charger with it. And this is that a 14 inch? Is that what that is?
It's 14, yeah.
Yeah. And realistically, I hate to say it, at my advanced age of 53, I don't want anything smaller than a 14 inch. And boy, Dan, if you were smart, you'd cut that.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm trying to see, like, just looking at the parts on their website, if you tried to build it yourself, it looks like it would cost you more than.
Yeah, I have no idea why you'd want to do that.
I don't know. So Pinebook main board with sideboard and cable. I guess the main board is the device itself, right?
Yeah, pretty much everything's on the main board. There's almost nothing in the Pine other than the battery. If you open up the bottom.
Because I'm looking here, so you could buy the Pine main board with sideboard and cable for 14-inch version, $45. And then, all right, so the top and the bottom of the case together is going to run you 48 and 9, so what, 64, so it's going to run you over $100 if you wanted to slap it together yourself. Now, I don't know what else – might be in there that isn't covered by those three parts. Those three different. Well, and then the power, which is another $7.
No, the power supply. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, if you're buying a la carte, but yeah, the power supply comes with it. The only thing I hosed up was I didn't specify when I ordered it for the US plug. So I have the EU plug for kicking around.
But it has audio built into the main board, right?
Yeah, yeah, the audio is built in.
So that the audio is coming from the main.
It's Bliss OS is the other Android alternative, which I've never heard of before. Dated sometime in 2017, though. But let's see, you got Android 7.1, Android 6, Armbian, Manjaro. Manjaro that I noticed, at least in the installer tool, was a micro SD boot only, so it runs off the micro SD card. Netrunner, Q4OS, Arch Linux mainline with XFCE. Armbian, KDE Neon, Xenial, which is what I'm running today. Xenial Mate, which is based on 16.04 Ubuntu. So, yeah, I'm running it off the eMMC. Although, really, there's probably no difference in performance between the eMMC and the SD card, because eMMC is essentially an SD card. Correct?
Yeah, I think the eMMC one is a little bit more robust. It's probably just a little bit faster. At least the interface for the eMMC, I believe, is faster than the SD card. Where the storage device itself may be only minimally faster, I think the bottleneck is...
the bus.
Yeah, the bus.
Right, because the microSD is probably going off the USB bus. About the only thing, other than the things that you mentioned, that I think it could use is 802.11a networks, or 5 gig networks. It's only got 2.4.
You know, maybe for your house, but not for my Faraday cage house.
Yeah, my little tiny house, it's not a problem. But then again, I just see my... power line adapter at the end that's in my office actually has Wi-Fi on it too, and at one point I had like a separate network, but I think I might have changed it so it was just the same network names as my main router, so I don't have a problem anywhere in my house. So
you know what I'm wondering is, of course I'd have a problem keeping it running. If just picture a square house with a hip roof, so the point of the roof is way the heck up there. It's probably like 4,000 degrees up there. So if I had like continuous air from the house going up an insulated duct to where my router would be, I probably would get excellent Wi-Fi coverage at 5 gigahertz.
Or you
could
just get mesh network. So like
I have the mesh network running, and even still,
right? You have the Asus one, right?
Yeah, even still, the 5 gigahertz is rough.
Huh.
And unfortunately, that's why I had to pull the Raspberry Pi Bluetooth, which worked great for presence detection, but totally horked up my 2.4 gigahertz. Just absolutely unworkable. And I even tried, I put a Pi Zero on my gate, and I put a Pi Zero on a light post that's in between the gate and the house, and that still horked up my 2.4 gigahertz, even though it wasn't even in the house.
That's amazing. I wouldn't think it would. Yeah, because I use Bluetooth headphones like all the time, you know. And
yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, that it's probing or whatever continuously, but it. Really? Yeah, I would think it would be the same thing, because yes, my wife uses Bluetooth in the house, but I don't know if it's the strength of the broadcast coming out or what it is, whether Bluetooth ramps up the power, because maybe if you're, you know, a few inches or a few feet away from the device, it goes pretty minimal. But
now I will say this, my old microwave, which was the countertop style, it would like whenever somebody was heating up a burrito or something, it would definitely it could be anything. I'm just using a burrito as an example, but but when the countertop microwave was in use, the 2.4 would like drop out.
Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely noticed that on some microwaves.
Yeah, I haven't had that problem on my new one. So
yeah, you're just frying your brain. That's all.
Yeah. Maybe it's because it's higher.
So what I ended up doing, and I'm not sure. I think. I haven't done a one-for-one test on this. Plus I'm, you know, under house arrest in Orlando right now. So what I did do is I set up Home Assistant has Asus WRT. They have DD WRT. So you can use these libraries to use your router to detect if somebody's home. So if it sees the MAC address of the device, you can say, hey, so I combine, my wife and my daughter both got Apple Watches, one version back. So it's not the cutting edge expensive ones. And so what I did is I counted those two devices as a person, and you can, you know, have multiple things count as a person. You could do Bluetooth, you could do a bunch of different things, and so it detects that they're home, and it works real good. It's not affecting anything else. I don't know that I can detect somebody coming and like open the garage door, but I definitely can detect nobody's in the house and turn the alarm on and close the garage door if it was left open. So that's where I am with that. What I was hoping is if I had the Bluetooth, the Raspberry Pi Zeros, out in the yard, that I could detect somebody coming, mm-hmm. and I could detect the direction based on where they hit first, like we see them at the fence line.
It would detect known Bluetooth MAC addresses,
right.
Not...
Well, yeah. I could do the other also. I could detect unknown Bluetooth MAC addresses.
True.
And I'm still thinking about throwing something out of my fence line, just... Because, hey, if any crimes occur, if I log a date and time of Bluetooth Macs going by, I can say, hey, this person's responsible because I have their MAC address.
And heck, what I would do, Rich, is I would write something that checks your email for when you get that all-important email from Amazon that your package arrived, sending the picture, and have it trigger the camera right after you get that email. Which, that's very, very, I heard somebody did that once, and they caught the Amazon Prime driver picking the package up and taking it.
That was my boss. My yeah. boss, literally.
Oh, that's right.
His home
right.
video.
You were told that last week, yeah.
Yeah, the Amazon delivery yeah. driver, you know, it's a third-party driver. He delivered the box, took a picture of it with, you know, whatever Amazon devices, picked it up, walked away.
And actually, it's probably not an Amazon device. It's probably just whoever's doing it, their phone.
Well, yeah, I've seen it. It's not their phone. It's some sort of, you know, it looks like a phone. It's not a normal phone.
Or a tablet or something. Who knows? I don't know. Oh, actually, it's probably a fire tablet.
Well, I've seen the Amazon guys. It's phone sized. It's not.
I was gonna say it could be the old Fire phones that they didn't sell.
Could be right.
But part of my weekend project. In fact, it's still kind of ongoing. Was straightening up my office. And I needed some new storage in there, and
about a pound of Tannerite would have fixed that.
Now, Saturday I went and I bought a I'm trying to remember the name brand of it, but basically it was at Sam's Club, and it's a steel, like, it's kind of like a tool cabinet with big rollers and a wood countertop on it. Okay. And I bought that assuming that basically I would open it the box when they got home, and they basically just felt, no. This thing you had to put together just like IKEA furniture, and it took me hours. Every single piece.
What, you didn't know a child in the neighborhood? You could have done it in probably 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. No, there was literally, I mean, there was like 100 screws practically. I mean, it was ridiculous. But,
Chill,
but
you, I got you make a together. YouTube video of it?
No, I didn't. But
yeah, you could have done a time lapse. That would have been a great time lapse.
Yeah, we've seen it rolling around. But now, it went together pretty nice, though. And the thing I like about it, it actually came with drawer liners already in it. Well, already in the box, I should say. You had to put them in it. But, and then I basically have like my GoPro gear in one drawer and tools in another drawer. And, you know, the bottom drawer's got like a stack of paper and whatever, you know, basically bigger things in there, like little, again, they got like my Dremels in that drawer too, I think, or something like that. But I'm thinking about moving my 3D printer over there, because what I may do is I may be picking up the actual i3, not the i3 mini, to go along with my i3 mini. That way I have one with a heated bed and I can print things like PETG on it, something that will last in the sun. So, it's amazing what you find when you clean out a room. Like, I found my LiveScribe pen, which I couldn't find for months, and I found my little micro SD card thing and that I made. Because my wife, it's like this: if I leave it out in the living room for too long, my wife just throws it in there. She doesn't put it anywhere specific. She just throws it in the room.
But my wife, if I left a particle of dust in somewhere in my house, wasn't my office, she would lose her mind. She'd be on the phone yelling at me right now. So there is absolutely no way. Like, there is nothing in the house that is mine unless it's in my office or in my garage.
Well, anyway, but... so the office is mostly clean now. I gotta actually finish and rearrange some things in there just to get it to a little bit more functional thing. Run the vacuum in there, which I haven't done yet. Which
my wife handed me the vacuum before I left. She's like, you need to take care of that now.
Yeah. The only thing, this is one thing which I cannot wait to do the flooring in that room, is that whenever you 3D print stuff, if you have like a wrap or something, it goes. I mean, even if you're trying to be careful when you're picking it off, it goes everywhere.
Yeah, and then when you pick whatever off, I will not 3D print in the house. That just not going to happen, because
in Ohio, it's basically, if I want to print, then I have no choice but doing it in the house, because the weather's too variable out in the garage.
Yeah, you're picking bits, you know, they're little plastic bits everywhere.
Yep. But if I had my wood flooring in there, like a what, or vinyl flooring that looks like wood, then I wouldn't have that problem. I can just sweep it up. But anyway. All week, then this week, I've been on phone calls all day. Because it's our team meeting week. Yay.
You have a week of team meetings?
Actually, just 4 days, and we're only beginning. We basically get 2 days, 2 hours in the morning, and then the rest of the day in meetings. So it's better. It's better than when we do this stuff on site. Not only are we together 8 hours during the day, but we go out to dinner and stuff. And basically, you spend 12 or 13 hours with these people. It's like, I like them. I like the people I work with. But, you know, by the time, if you get back to the hotel at 11 o'clock at night, you're wiped out, dude. I mean, sure as heck beats that.
I got a question for you guys, and maybe you can tell me if this is a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. I know I did come up with the idea, so it's excellent possibility that it is dumb.
Did Dor come up with it? It's dumb.
No. So, if if I took not Raspberry Pis, but other devices like an Odroid XU4 or a ROCK 64, the Odroid has two USB 3.0 ports. The Odroid XU4 has two USB 3 ports. The ROCK 64 has a single USB 3 port, but you can get a USB adapter. That goes USB 3 to Gig Ethernet, and it has USB 3 ports, three USB 3 ports on it also. So what I was thinking about doing is taking my USB 3 enabled devices, and I could drop a gigabit Ethernet USB 3 adapter in them and run a storage network, you know, set up another fast device with on Gig Ethernet with USB 3 storage, and use that as an NFS server. Is that a dumb idea to have a separate network as a storage network for my Pi devices?
Wait, like, you're going to VLAN it off?
Not VLAN it, just physically LAN it. Just drop another NIC on each one of my Pi devices that has a USB 3 port on it. And this way, only storage that would hit the NFS server would go there.
So let me see if I get this straight. So basically,
so all of my Pi devices would have two networks.
Storage only over that network?
Yes, yes, and one gig.
Okay, so basically the wired network. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and actually,
doesn't it already have a wired? It already has Ethernet in it. Right?
Yeah, it already has a wired
network.
And I would just use that. Right, right, and I would just use that for whatever. And, you know, whatever the normal, whatever service that device is doing, and having a, you know, gig Ethernet network dedicated only to storage. Is that a dumb idea? I mean, this is something we do in the enterprise with, you know, virtual machines and their hosts, that there's a, you know, usually a separate NIC for storage. And I'm just wondering if that's a dumb idea to scale down to Pi devices. Or if it had any value.
See, I'm trying to wrap my head around what, like, when you get down to a Pi device like that, and for your purposes, is the bottleneck going to be the network or the internal bus on the, you know, and just the device itself in general?
Well, all right. So first off, I guess it depends on the device. Can the device, if it has a gig Ethernet port, is it full gig Ethernet? And can the, you know, CPU connect to it at that speed? Or is it, now, if you have a USB 3 bus built into the device, USB 3 is it up to 5 gigahertz? I'm sorry, gigabits. And of course, gigabit Ethernet is 1 gigabit. So USB 3 is already faster than a gigabit network. So that works for both using a USB 3 gigabit Ethernet adapter and having storage that, you know, commodity storage you pick up at Costco. You pick up a 10 gig drive for, what is it, $169 right now? Which I don't consider a deal, but, you know, look, if you're looking for 10 gigs, that's a good price.
Like, what else are these devices doing?
Let's see. So what do I got kicking around the house? All right, so my Odroid XU4, I have, like, two USB 3, I think it's like a 5 terabyte drive, an 8 terabyte drive hung off it. One's for storage and one's for media. And so I'm doing backups. So I'm, it acts as a time capsule. So the one drive is doing, you know, backups of the Macs on my network. And the other drive is for, you know, TV and movies.
So this device, then, you would want to use that to share out additional storage through NFS.
So, all right, what I'm coming up with is as storage has become cheaper and larger, I now have, you know, 3 terabyte drives, stuff like that, kicking around. that I'm not using. And something like the Rock Pro 64, I can drop a USB daughter board into, USB 3 daughter board, and have, you know, like five USB 3 ports on the Rock Pro 64. So I could take these, you know, legacy, I hate that word, but, you know, legacy hardware devices that are still damn good and use them for commodity storage. Now, if I could do disk spanning, that would be frickin' buku good. I also have single drives kicking around, and I could drop them. I have a couple of USB 3 toasters, so I could drop two drives in each one of those.
I'm not asking the right question. I'm not making my question clear.
Okay.
I guess my question, what I'm saying is, what I'm trying to ask is,
what would I be storing with all that?
No. Aside from sharing those drives out via NFS, what else are these devices doing?
Oh, okay. Well,
like, is one running a web server that you're doing stuff with? Is one, you know, doing your video, your webcams or whatever, you know, doing that?
Yeah, okay. Right now, in my current state, I don't know that I have a need for it. It's really, I'm looking at the pile of hardware trying to figure out what I can do with it. Now, the next question is, do I have a need for that? And so, I guess
what I'm trying to get back to in your idea to put these devices on a separate Ethernet so that all this, you know, the NFS goes over that gigabit Ethernet on the USB 3 and so that's isolated to that. I'm trying to figure out whether, I mean, are you going to notice that much of a performance difference if you just went with straight Ethernet that's included in there? Is it going to make that big of a difference?
Yeah, you know, that's another good question. I mean, we're talking switched gigabit Ethernet. You know, maybe not.
Because I'm not saying what you're doing is stupid. I think it's great. That's a great idea what you're doing. I'm just trying to nail down, are you going to see a benefit to having a separate gigabit Ethernet card on the USB 3 as opposed to just using the one that's built in? And if, you know, where's the bottleneck going to be? Is it going to be the Ethernet, or is it going to be somewhere inside, like the bus or the CPU or, you know, mm-hmm, RAM or whatever, mm-hmm, for whatever purposes that this device is doing in general as a whole, maybe aside from NFS? But anyway, that's what I was getting at.
Right, right. Yeah, and you're right. I got a bunch of hardware. I've got gig switches kicking around because I test stuff all the time. And the question is, if you got the stuff, should you build it? And maybe the answer is no.
Why not? I will say this. Unless you're like streaming video or transferring like large amounts of files or doing something that's IO intensive operations, I'm not sure you're going to see that much of a for whatever you're using the NFS for. I'm not sure you're going to see that much of a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, if you have everything you have right now to build some storage and share it out via NFS, I'd do it. That's a great project.
Yeah, of course. I got many other things on the honey-do list.
You know what? This is what you do when your wife's like, I want you to do this. You say, look, honey, I built you storage. We're good.
Welcome, Dan Fry.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right.
Excellent. Excellent. Now that you're here.
He's here in time to talk about Google Stadia.
Wait. Before we get off on that, one of the things I want to get back to about, this really surprises me, because, and now granted, this is based on, like, what is it, the past 20, 30 minutes of looking at, during this discussion, but I'm surprised that there isn't a lot more resources out there for building a laptop NFS using server, a single board computer. Like, everything I've seen is either this Rock Pro...
Pi Book or something like that.
There's a Raspberry Pi one, but it's more or less like here's a keyboard and this LCD panel in this like case,
and it was awful.
And you hook it up, and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, where like I would love to be able to just find the shell that the Pi 64 has. Now they sell the shells as repair parts, but the store says they're all sold out.
Well, Dora bought the Pi Top, and it was $300 and awful.
Yeah. So,
if you just bought a Pine Book for $100, you're way ahead of the game.
Right.
But the thing, yeah, I was looking at the Pi Top, like I was trying to figure that one out myself too, looking at it. But yeah, you're $300, you know. I don't know. But the Pine Book, could you swap out a different board?
Boards, like, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if you could or not.
So the board that's in the Pine Book is different than boards than the boards you can buy from Pine, period. So it's
right,
not
the
like
you... Before, right.
Right, right. Although, in that press release, they said you're going to be able to upgrade your Pine Book. So I'm assuming there's going to be a basically pin-for-pin plug-in replacement available.
But yeah, because when I looked at on the store, when I looked at the actual replacement parts, so if you wanted to slap one together yourself via the replacement parts, they do have that main board and daughter board, which looks completely different than the Pine 64, Rock 64 and Rock Pro 64 boards. So yeah, again, that's what I wonder. Do you have to have a very specially built board to fit inside that shell or any shell?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, well, that the Pine Book shell, yes.
Because then I wonder, like,
right,
you have this sideboard, which I'm wondering if that kind of is it only compatible
could
with
be
the,
a power supply board,
the 64.
That just could be a power supply board there.
And it's been a while since I've
the USB port.
It's been like 2 years or more, I guess, since I've had the Pine Book open. But I think I originally had the bottom open. I pulled the EMMC and I flashed the EMMC directly.
Which isn't a bad way to do it either. But yeah, I'm pretty impressed with it so far. The Pine Book.
$100. You can't.
Yeah.
One. You know what? They did fantastic. If I paid somebody to do that work and it was $100, I would be crazy happy. So I am super impressed with that.
I mean, it's not as durable as, say, my Surface Pro I got, but then it doesn't cost as much either. So,
right,
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
What my goal for that device is really what my goal for my Chromebook is. And if I can consume the video, all of the like four video sources that I normally consume
right.
from YouTube, Facebook,
Netflix,
not Facebook,
Prime.
YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime,
Hulu.
Yeah, I don't do Hulu, but like Blaze TV. Oh, YouTube TV. That's another one.
Yeah.
If I could consume all of those sources, the only real down point to it is the audio is very low, and the trackpad is of a lesser quality than you'd be used to, but it's
definitely
usable. For $100, even for $200, I would be happy
right.
to give them my money so they can develop better things in the future.
And I also say the Pine Book Pro looks promising. You know, I mean, if it's even twice as good as this, then you really got something there.
Yep.
So
yeah, yeah, I'd be very excited to get a Pine Book Pro.
Yep. So Stadia, Google's streaming video game service, which is actually connected to YouTube, believe it or not.
Is that so you can stream your YouTube, your gaming video directly to YouTube?
You can. That's part of it.
I was going to say, Dan would know more than I would, because I didn't look up everything.
So I went back and I watched the live stream of it last night, and I tell you what, I'm not big into gaming, but this is freaking impressive what they're able to do, what
right.
they're touting they're able to
right.
do. So whether or not it it comes down to it or not. I mean, that is something else. First off, in the when they I forget what he's after Shimon Kachai got off stage, they brought in a, I think he's the VP of the of this program, and he brought out a guy who basically started playing a game. He started playing like Assassin's Creed or something like that, was moving around, jumped from one machine to a very low power machine to the same exact spot where he was in the prior game, in the prior machine, jumped to his phone, jumped to a pixel slate, and then jumped to a TV, like after moving and doing something on all of this stuff.
It basically like, just runs in a Chrome browser.
Freaking impressive. Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, it'll run in a Chromecast, right? I mean, it's really something.
Yeah, they're bringing out controller for it, and there's like I said, they're promising AAA games, and they're also now this I'm a little bit skeptical of, but they're saying 4K at 60 frames per second with a 30 megabit connection. That just doesn't sound reasonable to me, but I guess it can. I don't know.
I don't know. I read something today on the like any on issues with like latency on it, right? Like it's gonna be. They had an issue and they were doing it on a hotel Wi-Fi, and then they had to like the Google devs had to like quick reboot it, and then the person was able to go ahead and play it like without any issue.
And basically, it's running on a machine in their cloud. Like 16 gigs of RAM, I think.
16 gigs of RAM, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but to go, Rich, to what you were saying, like it does produce a simultaneous stream that you can then share out immediately, either a clip or your whole session or something like that, right onto YouTube. And you can then have it say, like, alert, like, your followers that you're doing a live gaming stream or something like that. They can then even go and get in line to jump in and play with you. Like if it's that type of a game, like they showed a demo of an NBA game where a content creator was out there on YouTube who streams video games, and that showed like play with so and so, right? And then there was like you're the third in line, so as people kind of jumped in and jumped out, they could all be playing with this person at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I have questions about this controller though, this Wi-Fi controller. Like, is it gonna tie into like Google Play Games, right? Which stores all of like your history, your progress, your, you know, awards and all that kind of stuff for most games on Android, right? I'm wondering if it will tie into that. And then does it tie that to me? Does that controller get tied to me? So like if I wanted to say buy my kids one of these things, right? I'd have to buy them each one, like, and it'd be tied to their own account, right? And, you know, something like that. So I wasn't sure, and that wasn't apparent in a lot of that stuff.
Yep. I'm not exactly sure either, but I mean, it sounds like they're dedicating resources to your game, like when you're playing it in their cloud. So it's like a custom x86 processor. Clocked at 2.7 gigahertz with AVX2 SMID, 9.5 megabytes of L2 plus L3 cache, 16 gigs of RAM that's shared between the CPU and the GPU, up to 484 gigabit per second of bandwidth, SSD, and cloud storage. That's what Shack News is reporting on that. But, you know, so I mean, I read some of the stories and I'm thinking a lot of it's going to be hyperbole because I just don't think, because didn't OnLive try this kind of thing a while ago and failed? You know, I don't know. I mean, the only thing with this that kind of makes me skeptical is like how many services has Google started and stopped? You know, Allo, Google Plus is got a week left, you know, for regular people, but you know. So I mean,
it was pretty impressive, like the way they showed that it kind of degraded too, like as your bandwidth or your hardware is different, right? Like they kind of showed this thing kind of sweeping across the screen, showing you like what it was on like one machine versus another machine at the same exact point in time. Which was really interesting. One thing that I thought that was crazy was, like, if you're using their controller, there is a Google Assistant button on there, and you're in a part in the game, and they said to it, is like, oh, how do you get by this? And it dumped you out to YouTube to somebody who's posted a video on it, right? Like, it was nuts. Like, you know, I mean, how it was, like, kind of like seamless like that. But right. I get it. It was a presentation. Right. So I am skeptical about it. But if they were doing this on hotel Wi-Fi as well, right? I mean, that was, I don't know. What was really impressive was the map of these servers, these edge servers that are all over the world that are storing this stuff, right? So it sounds like they're going to try to put it as close to you as possible, right? And I wonder if that moves, like if you move along with it. So, like, I travel a lot, right? If I decide to throw one of these in my bag and play it while I'm on the road versus playing it at home, like, is my profile going to jump from edge to edge, you know, wherever I'm closest, right? I don't know. I don't know if that's a possibility or not. But it sounded like they had a lot of partners all lined up, ready to kind of jump onto this. There's a Doom release coming out for it, right?
Fortnite.
I didn't hear Fortnite had mentioned it.
Oh, I can't believe Fortnite won't show up on there. That's on everything.
Yeah, I know. It just wasn't mentioned, so I just didn't know.
And the best thing is, since Chrome runs on Linux, hey, you can play AAA titles on Linux finally.
Well, the whole thing is running on Linux.
You can play AAA titles on Linux.
Oh, I know, but not all of them.
Well, yeah, you can play if you're running. Wait, are you talking about the Chrome browser or the Chrome device?
Joe's probably talking about Steam.
I know what Joe's talking about.
And Proton.
But I'm asking what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Stadia through the Google services.
Right, but I guess the question is,
Chrome.
Is that going to play through the Chrome browser, and then were you able to be able to run it on any computer, regardless of the operating system?
Basically, anything that runs the Chrome browser is my understanding.
Oh, you know what?
On that phone there might be an app, but
so yeah, I was reading it up. Now I don't remember. So this is essentially you're running the game from their systems, and it's just
you're running the game in
the display
cloud
back to you.
Basically,
I mean, in a nutshell, I mean, there's a little more involved than that, because I know. You know, Sony does that with the PlayStation, PlayStation Now. No, it's not Now. It's PS Now, I think it is. Whatever it is, they've essentially, that's what you do. You can play the older PlayStation games, like PlayStation 1, 2, and 3 games on PlayStation 4 by running the PS Now application, which will connect and run the game from their servers and display it on your machine. And then, of course, control input and output go, you know, the input goes from you to their server and then comes back over your display. So there's that concern right there when I was reading about there being a potential lag, particularly in multiplayer games where, you know, you have to be a little more spot on with that type of connection. And they were saying how they're looking at possibly, you know, getting around that is that the communication from your the server to your the browser and the display is one connection, but there's a separate connection for the controllers that just go directly to the server, so it doesn't have to go back through the same channel.
All I'm going to say is we'll see. I saw an article on The Motley Fool that says, oh, the Netflix of gaming is finally going to be upon us. And I'm like, I'm not so sure about that, but
well,
you know,
we'll
see how it works.
I given how Sony's PS Now service is working, I mean, it. I don't think that's too far off. Because again, that's working on Sony's PlayStation Network, and they're doing that. You have the service. You choose what game you want to play, and you're up and playing.
It's just, yeah, we'll see.
Nintendo's like doing that too.
Like I keep hearing, like the tech folks saying things like about, and this is tied in that I think 5G and faster connections are going to be critical to stuff like this. But the one thing I always hear the tech folks say is that 5G is critical to self-driving cars. I'm like, I know. you know, I don't know how that's true, but anyway. I just find it interesting that like this and a lot of things in tech news today, you know, it's like the first few days heard of it, it's RDF for everything nowadays. They're not, you know, they're excited about it, but since nobody's really actually played with it other than a few journalists, with the journalists being questionable, you know, we don't really know how it's going to be until we actually get to try it. We'll see.
I did think it was pretty interesting when they talked about being able to play in like multiplayer. They created this kind of test world to throw it in, and they started throwing like six or seven people as like a squad up, right? Where you know, one person was kind of flying up over something and looking down. One person was kind of looking straight on. Four or five other people were all kind of, you know, had a different point of view, but you were sitting there, you would say you were the person, in kind of like looking through your field of view. You could then throw up on the screen like all these other points of views at the same exact time, so you can see like the person hovering over you, so you can look down and see like what's coming around you. And as one person dropped a pin somewhere, like it became immediately available to everybody in that stream, you know, so all the streams kind of reflected it based upon whatever their field of view happened to be. I was like, bringing all that stuff together, I mean, that has got to be such an incredible challenge that they're, you know, working towards.
You know, what would be really nice, and I didn't watch the video or the presentation or read too much into it yet, but can you, like, play a game on your phone and then stop and pick that up, like, say, on your smart TV?
Yes, and I would say watch the first like 10 minutes of that thing, and then you will see a person come up on stage and do just that. He goes from PC to phone to Pixelbook to TV on a Chromecast, right? I mean, he bounces between like four or five different devices.
Because yeah, that is going to be sweet. Because that's one of the nicest thing about the Switch is, you know, you got to go to the restroom. You're playing on the TV. You got to go to the restroom, pop the controllers back into the Switch. You're good to go. You know, take it up to whatever room you want to.
You could start it on your TV, pick it up out of their dock, and take it to the bathroom and take your crap and never have to stop playing your game.
That's what I just said, but you could do that.
Yeah.
You could, like, you have that even more flexibility
with your phone.
With the Google Center. So I think it has, I mean, at first I was like, man, you know, whatever, but now I'm like, the more I think about it, it has, so long as you have a decent internet connection, it has a lot of potential.
So one thing they talked about is that they don't want you to have to put any money towards any hardware if you don't have to, right? Like, if you have existing, like, USB controllers, it should work by you hooking up a USB controller right to your PC or laptop or whatever, Chromebook, and you don't have to do anything special. Like, their specialized controller is going to get you things like the Google Assistant to drive you out to other things. It's going to probably give you quicker controls to say, hey, I'm going to show this snapshot on YouTube and put it out there so the stream can be out there for somebody to go look at, like, this feat that I just did or something like that, right? But for the most part, other than, like, whatever their monthly cost is going to be, you probably don't need to buy anything special to use this.
Now, I wonder... So I wonder how the pricing is going to be. I would venture to guess the service itself is probably going to have, like you said, a monthly or an annual cost, depending on how you want to play. But then you have to, I would say you probably have to buy games too, because I can't see that monthly or annual cost including AAA titles.
Well, they kind of said somewhere I either read or saw it in, as a part of that, like they want this to be like the Netflix right. for games. I mean, if that's the case, right. it's telling me that's a monthly cost, and you just have access to whatever's in the library out there. I don't know that the game industry gets on board with something like that, to be honest. There was a service that would do that.
On
that
Live.
They would ship you the discs.
On Live.
Is that what that was? On Live? They would ship
Gamefly.
You the discs. And you would play the discs. Gamefly. That's
yeah, we'll
Gamefly.
See. I think though, and, but we'll see. Gamefly operated similarly to how just video rental services in general work. Like when a company,
a Blockbuster.
Yeah, they pay a licensing fee, if I'm not mistaken. It's either they pay a licensing fee or the cost per video is extremely high for them. So the company, like the company that owns the rights to the movie, gets a cut of those that rental. And so it's just like Netflix. I think Netflix, when a movie's played, the company, the production company, gets X amount of credit or money, if I'm not mistaken. And I guess that's like, I would wonder, like, if the latest Battlefield or whatever. What's a popular game for you, Joel?
I don't play games. I'm a bad example.
Crazy Bowling Adventures. You know, that would be the hot item. Like, Bowling Tournament Bowling 2020 comes out, right? And you got
Forza,
add that, right? Forza. Are they going to let, like, the people on Google service have that as just part of their monthly service fee and then charge everybody else like $60 for every other console? I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see how they manage that. So you gonna get it, Man Fry, when it comes out? Kiss your life goodbye, playing video games all the time?
Nope, he's gonna fire up his Raspberry Pi and play retro games.
You won't have to play retro games on Raspberry Pi anymore. Wait, do they have Google Chrome browser on Raspberry Pi?
Chromium.
That's not Google Chrome though. I mean, so that brings out that next question. Is this service going to be like, you know, Netflix was for X amount of years, where you could watch it under Linux without some very, 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 very special voodoo, but now you can? I mean, will it operate with something like Chromium, or are you going to have Google Chrome browser? Will it operate in Firefox? There's a question. What happened to Man Fry? They got him.
Hotel Wi-Fi.
I mean, it's pretty exciting.
Much more exciting than new AirPods.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's basically Apple's Bluetooth headphones.
Oh.
That are really expensive.
Oh, man.
I've been looking for something similar, you know, to swap these Bluetooth headphones that I have out. Something small like that.
Are they headphones?
Does Google still have theirs?
They do. They have the Pixel Buds, but I didn't want a wire. I wanted something that was truly wireless. I've been looking at like the Jabra ones. Anker has a pair that's like $49 right now or something like that. So I was thinking of even just looking at something like that. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I usually listen to them for podcasts, and like if I'm, you know, run out of podcasts, then I throw some music on, right? And I don't need them to be the greatest things in the world.
I am a fan of any of the LG headsets, as is Joe.
Yep, I do like most of the LG headsets.
But you might not like it because it's got a frame.
I have this one that kind of sits on my neck and the wires come up, right? But it's got a battery life that will last. I mean, I've had this thing probably for 2 years now, and the battery still lasts like all day long. Like, I will go all day and have it on, and it will not even need to be charged at night. And I just charge it overnight just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I've tried the smaller ones, you know, the ones that just sit in your ear. And the best you're going to get is like 4 hours of battery life. At least that's all I've ever seen. And it sucks.
You see, that's why I like the LG ones, because their frame is kind of annoying, but that frame also packs a battery.
Yeah, it packs a great battery, plus it's got good controls. I mean, you don't have to, you know, remember how many taps it is or get the timing just right to get it to go forward or back. It's got a dedicated play button. It's got a dedicated fast forward, rewind, volume up, volume down. Plus, they're usually fairly easy to solder.
Unless you're Dan, and if you're Dan Washko, then you'll just buy another Santa clip and break it in the car door again.
Those aren't easy to solder.
Which ones?
The Santa clip. None of those smaller devices. I mean, I'm not going to say they're not easy to solder. I never tried, but to get the case apart without mangling it is a nightmare.
Yeah, basically to try and repair them, you're destroying it.
It's not an easy thing to get it apart without, like, scratching it up and chipping it all the pieces. But yeah, I guess you could solder it back.
As long as it works when it's back together, who cares?
Because it doesn't go back together right when it's all chewed up sometimes.
Yeah, it either doesn't go back together or it looks like crap.
That's what JB Weld is for.
I mean, I've done, like, I've taken one that doesn't work and, like, popped it on
Joe,
the one that
did. Joe,
when
you were younger, did you repair your glasses with duct tape?
No.
Okay, then.
Well, when I broke my glasses, I did it right.
You shattered the lenses.
Yeah, those fucking things were broken.
I need to get a decent soldering iron. I don't have a good one.
I've got a gun, and I've also got a iron that I picked up when Radio Shack was closing up.
I've been thinking about I should really break out this Arduino again and start playing around with it. But I'm still pissed, Joel. I've been looking all over, and I found an HDMI display that looks like, I mean, it's the closest thing I found to being able to, that wasn't 7 inches. This thing was 10, like 10 and a half inches, and it's off of Adafruit's website. It's $149, I think it is, for the display, or $159 for the display with audio. And it looks like something you could, like, if you found the right case, laptop case, you could pop this into that laptop case. But
Dan's gonna build himself a Franken laptop running a XU40.
Well, that would be cool. Like I said, I would be interested in doing that. It's just I can't find the parts. Like, I would think that the parts would be somebody out there would have had them or listed them, but it's really hard to find those individual parts. The closest is off the Pine 64 site, where you can find the replacement. Well, they list the replacement parts, which are no longer available. There's that, and then that display I saw off of Adafruit, but I don't see a case to pop it into, or any indication that you can get a case to pop it into. And then, you know, how do you hook up the keyboard on a case into whatever single board computer that you're playing around with? You know, plus the fact that a lot of the single board computers might be a little too thick to fit in. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's the reason why we don't see a lot of open source laptops like that. Because all that crap is like proprietary connections into specially designed motherboards. Yeah, wait, let me. So, yeah, off of the Adafruit website, which is the closest thing I found, under HDMI displays, they're called, it's 10.1. Oh no, that one's a little too pricey.
See, what Dan wants to do is he wants to build his own chai so he doesn't get screwed again.
Yeah, you know, that's a possibility. The HDMI 4Pi 10.1 inch display, 1280x800, HDMI VGA NTSC PAL is $144. The 10.1 with audio is 154, so it's a little cheaper than I said, but they look like almost perfect. If there's only a case to pop them into, I guess you could 3D print one, right?
You could. Now there is a 7-inch screen that you could put. There is like a 7-inch screen and a case, and I think it's an official one from the Pi Project where you can cram a Pi into the case and stuff like that, and I believe you'd have access to the USB ports. So technically you could do something like that and hook up like one of those smaller USB keyboards or like a Logitech keyboard or something. I don't know.
You know, I did see smaller ones. You're right. I did see kind of like smaller ones, 7-inch, where you could start doing stuff like that. But I must have a little bigger.
I've seen even smaller too.
Like I would rather have a bigger one. I want to go bigger, like not smaller. I'm getting old. 7-inch screen, my eyes don't work on that anymore. I have to get the glasses that Pegwall uses.
Well, that goes back to where you know, you talk about these Android phones with the folding screens, and I'm like, why don't you just carry a phone and a tablet and be done with it?
Because that's carrying two devices instead of one?
That's the only thing I could do, you know. But and then I saw that somebody basically showed a little bit more footage of the Note Fold, and they showed that you can really...
You really what?
Like a crease, like you felt like you like if you folded a piece of paper like right in the middle of the screen is a crease. I'll stick to Metzl, although I'm not liking the hole punch displays though, so I'm not so sure. You seen that the renderings of the new Pixel 4, right, Dan Fry?
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything to that. Those, I think they're just rumors right now. I don't believe that that's going
to
be the
case. Yeah, I'd rather, if you need to cram that in, I'd rather either have a bezel or a notch. Preferably a bezel, because bezels are important. Bezels give you a place to hold the freaking device. See, and I don't get this going screen to screen kind of deal. You know, I don't get it.
I mean, I guess I'm just not too particular about it. I don't care about the hole punch. I don't care about the notch. I don't care about any of that stuff. I actually like having a bit of a bezel like to hold on to, but that even doesn't bother me anymore. I don't know. I guess I'm just not in the camp of you know, that bothers me.
Well, there's an extent where it bothers me, but there's nothing I can do about it. So I'll just go ahead and continue on. But, you know, because I'm not like some of these people that are literally bitch about the bezels being huge.
Well, the only thing I want to bitch about on the S10 is the price.
Yeah, $1,000, $2,000. That's ridiculous.
Right. I'm not going to pay that for it, especially since they don't have any type of actual convergence on it yet. You know, what am I supposed to do? Buy it and hope that it comes?
Well, they have, like, if you buy a Samsung device, you have the DeX, but...
Right, you have the DeX, but the Linux on DeX beta still isn't on it yet, on the S10, from what I've seen. So it's still skinned Android for a desktop. And even then, that would still be a hard sell for the price.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll stick the Pixel, and I know it'll be about $1,000 for whatever new Pixel it is, but it is what it is.
Well, somebody gave me two Fujitsu ST5000s, 2 GB RAM, and a Pentium M processor. And yeah, they're old as dirt. But I got one of them currently running Peppermint, and one of them running MX. And I've tried installing Steam on both of them, and it shows that it's installed. But I try to open Steam, and it goes through the update process, and then the window closes, no error gets thrown, and no window comes up. So, I'm kind of stuck there. Although, I did get Steam to come up using X11 forwarding. It's not like I actually want to install any games on there. I just want to stream some games and see if I can do it. But as soon as I tried to set up a stream to another computer, it failed. So I am stuck currently. I think I'm going to try installing Lubuntu 32-bit and see what happens. Anybody got any ideas?
Wait, what was that again?
I'm having trouble getting Steam to run on a really old system, 32-bit. But I don't want to actually install games. I just want to stream games from another computer.
So that's that Steam Link, right?
It's... Well, no, I'm not even installing Steam Link because, you know, there's not an official app for it for x86 Linux. So for 32-bit Linux, there's not a Steam Link app, just the Raspberry Pi app.
So how are you gonna stream it over?
So I installed Steam, and you can stream from computer to computer as long as both of them have Steam.
Steam's still putting out a 32-bit version?
That's a good question. I mean, you go to their website and they still have all the information about the 32-bit version. So, Yeah, and it's still in the repos.
And why can't you do that?
I have. I've installed Steam, and I open it, and I've even done it from command line to see if it throws some kind of error. And it goes through the update process and then closes out, and nothing happens.
That is annoying. And Steam client doesn't have a log file anywhere, does it?
Not that I've seen. No. And like I said, I did it from terminal, so I could see any errors that it might throw, and it doesn't throw any errors. It says it worked just fine, and then I'm back to being able to enter commands again.
I have Steam installed on one of my computers here. I'm trying to remember how I can get into it. Maybe 32-bit just don't work no more.
It's possible. But like I said, it's not like I actually want to play games. I just want to stream from other computers that are playing games.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, I know that these computers aren't the greatest, but I'd love to be able to see how far I can take a thin client. I mean, Google would probably let me play games.
And another news, Facebook had almost 24 hours of downtime last week. And nobody cared. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Did you look at the Steam log?
Right, no.
So you're going to find it. It's in home, your home directory, under .steam. All those things in there are probably sim links to a location that's under your home directory .local share Steam. Whatever, but you want to go to the, I'm thinking the root one, because the root one has a logs directory under it, and there are logs in there.
Okay. I will take a look at it after the show. I've set the thing down for now. I spent most of what we've been doing on the show working on that, and I'm a little tired of it right this second.
Wait, what the... That's weird.
But I will say that while it does not do Plex very well, and it does not do YouTube hardly at all, it does, over a fuse mount, play 720p video very well. And it's got a good screen. Using SSHFS.
Ay, ay, ay. Looks like you got your work cut out for you, man.
Yeah, something fun to do for a while.
Little more than a month till Endgame hits. I actually can't wait. I don't think you'll have to see Captain Marvel necessarily to get Endgame.
So, I was quite surprised at my Google Plus archive being 800 megs in size.
Wow, what did it do? Include all the pictures?
No, it does. Yeah, it does. So the download file... Oh, I'm on the wrong computer. The download file was just called Takeout.
Yeah, and Google it was Takeout, yeah.
811 megs in size. So I extracted it. It's 845 megs extracted. And I'm viewing it in Firefox, and maybe I should try and view it under Google Chrome. Shouldn't be a difference. But it has, says archive for my account. It's four Google products. I have four sections. One is Google Plus ones on websites, Google Plus Circles, Google Plus Communities, and Google Plus Stream. So I'm looking specifically at Stream right now, and it has activity log, events, photos, and posts. And so it lists them by date, which is nice. So 2011, I guess July 7, 2011 was my first posting. When you click on the post or whatever it is, it's nothing special. I mean, it's just like a web page, but there's no decoration around it. It's essentially text and whatever, maybe image or whatever you've had with it, if you did. So, I don't know what I'm going to do with this information. Who knows? You should do it, Joel, before time runs out.
And speaking of time, kind of a more important thing in my eye, if any of you have ever listened to Android App Addicts over on Podnuts, Steve's good friend Eric Ardini, who is one of the hosts of Android App Addicts, at least for as long as his health can take it, has been diagnosed with a stage 4 liver cancer. So 5150 had earlier pasted in the IRC the link to his GoFundMe account, trying to raise some money so Eric doesn't really have to worry about doing anything but fighting the cancer and trying to enjoy as much of the time as he has with his family. And he's a pretty young guy too.
Yeah.
To have to deal with this.
That is, I mean, holy mackerel. It's way too young. That's just crazy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you could hack a little bit of money, send that his way, I'm sure that Eric would appreciate it. I'm sure that his family would as well.
When's the fundraiser end?
I don't think he has an end. I think it's only been running for about 3 days so far, and they've got over $3,000, which is just phenomenal.
crazy. Yeah, I don't see an ending on here either, so yeah. All right. Anything else for this week?
Nope. It's a little bit past 10. I think we can shut her down.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
The MeWe channel's going pretty good. People are posting on there on a regular basis. Pat posted an article today about the tipping point. Streaming services have achieved a tipping point. So it's head over there. MeWe.com. Look for our group. Linux Link Tech Show. Good stuff.
Bowling's finally over, and Chris Prather, brand new guy, wins his first title. I like seeing a new guy win. So see you guys later.
Yeah.
Play us out.
Wait. Oh, I gotta get the machine up. Hey, thanks a lot, there guys. Fry. Don't forget, have a safe trip back home this weekend.
Thank you. Got this weekend next, and then I got a couple weeks off, and there then I'll be back up here.
All right. How much longer are you going to be up there in Boston?
Well, this project ends next week, and then we're going to kind of continue it remotely for a couple of weeks, and then we'll be back up here doing it again. And then and I'm not sure what the next step after that will probably be another 10 weeks or so.
All right.
And that'll actually take me right up to – I talked a few weeks ago about our Disney trip, so – when we take the family to Disney, and so that'll take us right up to then. So,
all right. Well, you have a. We'll see you maybe next week, hopefully.
Yep, hopefully. I should be around. I believe
I'll Joe, you gonna be on Lugcast this week? Mintcast too.
Oh, let me see. Well, I'm gonna be on Mintcast this week. Is Lugcast this weekend?
No, it's next weekend.
No, it would be the weekend after, first and third.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so. Wait, was this past week, third week?
The 15th, yeah. I was on. Not much, because I was working, but
all right.
I was on.
So 2 weeks. You get a break.
Yep.
All more. Right. Yeah, here we go. Here are your promos, and we'll see you in a week. Take it away.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You by fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson. And Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com. IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
You. Have not booted Linux on my Surface Pro yet. I'm too chicken right now. I'll try it eventually.
Well, you can boot it on there without wiping it out, right?
Yeah, I can probably just try it off of a live disk. See, one of the things is and probably one reason why I wouldn't run Linux on it like all the time is the inking and the stuff with the pen is just so good on it. I mean, I'm impressed. Like, one of my favorite things to do, like, when I'm taking notes, is taking notes directly into OneNote with the pen. And then you can actually, like, draw, like, a box around it. Then have it, basically convert the writing to text. And it's actually pretty good if your handwriting's decent. Which means it doesn't always work in my case because my handwriting's crap. But if I'm clean and careful, it's not too bad. And I like sketching on it too. And pretty awesome battery life on it too. I mean, I've always I never had a Microsoft built computer before like this, but I've always liked their mice and their keyboards and stuff like that. They've always made good hardware, or put it this way, if not made themselves, designed good hardware. But I'm really impressed. I even bought the Surface mouse that matches my keyboard and pen. And the only thing I don't like about that is the battery lid on the bottom of it is magnetic. So if it's rolling around your bag or something, then it could potentially push your battery cover off. But when you're using it, not even noticeable. I didn't go with the Arc mouse. I could have, but it's achieving what I want for now. One of these days, I need to build a Linux machine that has a gig connection on it, so that I can have faster storage on my network.
What do you have now?
Oh, just a Pi with Open Media Vault on it. I'm running that 100 megabit into my, it's 100 megabit into a gig switch I've got in my office, and then that goes over the power line adapter out to my router.
Open Media Vault. That's awesome. All right, Joel, say goodnight to these people.
Good night. Oh.
How was bowling?
Good. Son's watching the Scorpion Championship. The World Series of Bowling is happening this week. They've got like four or five. dips on different oil patterns up in Detroit, and then tomorrow I think it's the final, the world championship.
Why is it called Scorpion?
It's an oil pattern. That's what they called the oil pattern, and just what they named it. They call the four championships they have going this week the animal ones, because there's scorpion, cheetah, I forget the other two. Just a different oil pattern.
Oil pattern on what? On how they oil the...
How they oil the lane.
How much of a difference does that make?
Oh, big time difference, because it could change the grip of the ball as it's going down the lane. So the ball could break earlier. You could slide out into the gutter, various things. So each pattern's a little bit different, and you have to bowl it differently. The standard, or what they call a house shot, which is what each bowling house has, kind of like their own shot. But most houses will have that shot as a really easy one, and that you'd basically could just throw the ball and get a strike pretty easy with throwing a straight ball. Makes it easy for the noobs. I'm using the Prime Book today.
Oh, you're going to give a review?
Probably two things, too, although I haven't tried Linux on my Surface yet. And we can talk about Google Stadia.
Yes, we can.
I do believe Google got more attention than Apple's announcement today did.
Oh.
It's a video game streaming platform. Woohoo.
It's a sad summer fest. Coming soon, Joel. Another year of Hoagie Fest.
Of the Linux desktop?
Hoagie Fest. Hoagie, Hoagie, Hoagie.
The Hoagie Man.
Yeah, the Hoagie Man will be back.
Wawa Hoagie Fest.
Testicles, testicles.
Testicles.
What microphone am I on? How do I know?
You are
I don't know,
really,
but you're very
hot. Loud. Now he's beating it off.
Oh, okay, good. Then I'm on the right microphone.
Yeah, it was really loud.
Yeah, it's big, it's black, down. And I'm beating it off.
That up bump.
Is it still loud? Do I have to turn it down?
No, that's good now.
It's a little thing.
Yeah. Turd birds whistling.
Who's whistling?
The turd bird. Hey, Dan, your bidet, is it an electric one, or is it one of those ones that run off of water pressure?
It's just water pressure.
Okay, because I've been seeing them like for like $25 on like Wish.
And how do you not freeze your nookies off?
Yeah, there's no heat in it unless you run a hot water line into it.
You can run a hot line. You can run from the.
Yeah, but you got to run it for a long time before it gets hot.
You know what? It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it probably would.
Get cold water splashed off your privates? I don't know.
It doesn't bother me.
I think I'd be scraped off the ceiling if that happened.
Well, it probably wouldn't be too bad where Dan lives. Where I live, I don't know.
Now, is it like a pressure washer, or is it just kind of, like somebody splatter at you?
You know, if you just enough let to it get the shoot shit you off. Straight in the butthole, it goes in about a quarter inch.
There you go.
TMI, man.
There's some pressure behind it. It's not like, a little dribble drabble flick of a
It's
of
enough
a water
to clean the shit off your butthole.
Yeah.
But how do you know when it's done?
Because you wipe afterwards because you have to dry your ass.
Do you have like a set of lights? Like when you're going through the drive-through car wash, it says, buffing, shining, applying wax, blow dry.
I don't know how to answer that question. All I can say is,
Dan, I hope you're recording because that's a damn good line.
Yeah, I would say you just know. You just know when it's done. When you're finished.
Well, you have but you have to wipe too because you have to dry it.
I was gonna say. See, that's a good thing about paper is when the paper's clear, your butt's clean.
It's not really clean though. Trust me.
Man,
I'm just not going there. I am not
terrible.
I know Dor's going to be listening to this, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking later, Dor. Hey, are you recording, Dan? Because I can't tell.
Yeah, it's recording.
Can't see the red freaking lights, dude. Come on.
No, because I'm on Plumble.
Oh.
Ooh, my flash is complete. Frick, I've been trying to do something like that probably takes a half an hour for 2 days, and there's absolutely no reason why I couldn't have done it.
Is there something to save for the show, or you want to tell us what it is right now?
Nah, it's no big deal. I was just trying to install a new Raspbian and try out installing TensorFlow on it with pip.
Google TensorFlow.
TensorFlow is machine learning, so it'll do object recognition from a video stream. But on the Raspberry Pi 3, it probably does about one frame a second, which might be good enough.
Yes, very important. They're 5150 shared Eric Gardini's GoFundMe. Fuck cancer.
He looks damn young. All right, we should probably start the show.
There's a show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, Pat. Hey, haven't seen you. How's it going, man? Pat.
How you doing?
So are you getting the high point or what?
I'm going to say no.
As far as I know, they don't have the bullpup stock for that yet.
Well, they do. There is one out there.
Yeah, it's for the 9 mil, not for the 10.
No, they have one for the 10, too.
Oh, yeah, they do? Ooh.
Yeah, my hang-up is they only have 10-round magazines for
it. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I was thinking about. What I was thinking about is 3D printing an adapter from the Glock 10mm drum mag to the High Point magazine.
Yeah, the other thing you might want to look at, Rich, is Tapco has extensions for the 40 and the 45. Mm-hmm. It should be very close to the 40.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would buy one of those and work off of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're saying a Tapco drum mag?
Yeah, not a drum mag. They have extenders for those.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And the only issue that you might have is a spring and getting the proper tension.
Yep. But, you know, Pat, really, you're close enough to New York. Who needs more than 10 rounds to kill a deer?
I wouldn't use that on a deer.